Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
I was once a lion, the monster in Orion. At last the humans came. Now I'm handled with a chain. Hear the children holler, a serpent for a collar. I will get no rest in this haunted.
The Police Brothers are a Hudson Valley-based folk country rock band with a fervent fan base, of which I count myself a member. They will play a Valentine's Day show at BSB Lounge in Kingston, New York. The Police Brothers' most recent album, Favorite Waitress, is out now on Dual Tone Records. Paste Magazine calls the album the band's best to date, a remarkably varied and well-paced collection of tunes, and American Songwriter called it one of 2014's best releases. James Felice joins us now. Welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So you are playing a Valentine's Day show at the BSP Lounge in Kingston, New York. Is there anything special that you do as a band for a holiday show like that, for a Valentine's Day show?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get some romantic songs up and running. Some, hopefully some nice, you know, intimate waltzes and stuff like that. Yeah, we're definitely maybe dress up a little bit. I think I might wear a suit and tie, although I'll have to talk to my girlfriend about that, but I think we will. I think we're going to dress up.
That would be nice. I saw you guys last year on another holiday, on St. Patrick's Day at Helsinki Hudson.
That's so cool. Awesome. Wow, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. So tell me about Favorite Waitress. It's a little bit more joyful sounding than a lot of your previous albums, without being, you know, light, but it's just like kind of upbeat and happy. Where does that sort of joy come from as far as this recording, this record goes?
That record was actually a joy to record and to write. We did it. We did all the pre-production here in the Hudson Valley, New Paltz, actually. Our old sort of we had this old chicken coop that we used to record a bunch of our records.
Right.
And then it flooded during Irene.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was destroyed. All of our equipment was like wrecked, and everything was wrecked. But then 2 years later, we sort of went back into that room, sort of ripped out all the insulation and killed all the mold, hopefully, and just sort of just set up in this empty room that used to be our recording studio. And we just sort of started rehearsing there again. And it was really fun. It was nice to be back in that room. So I think that's maybe had something to do with it. It's fun. Sometimes it's funner to make fun sounding records.
You recorded it in a real studio. Why was it time to go to a proper studio to record a record?
There was a few reasons. One is that we didn't have a real studio anymore because, like I said, our space had sort of been destroyed by
right.
Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And another, we thought it'd be cool to sort of get out of town, to not be able to sort of go home after each night, to sort of concentrate the experience. And we knew that if we were out in Omaha only, and we had a limited amount of time, we would just get it done as quickly as possible because sometimes we do sort of dither on things. So for us, it was really good just to have that block of time.
When Irene hit and ruined your chicken coop, were you in the area or were you away and came back to the destruction?
I was there. I lived there too.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were there. And our producer, Jeremy, most of the stuff, or a lot of the stuff in there was his. So he was like in a canoe, canoeing around his equipment.
Oh no!
It was a rough time, but it was great to get back in there for a little while anyway. Work on that record.
You mentioned that writing the songs was a joy too, and I wanted to ask you, how does the songwriting process work for you guys? Who writes the songs? How much do you contribute? How much do you write together?
Well, for this record, it was, I think, much more of a collaborative experience than maybe the last few. So my brother Ian, I guess he writes most of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up with most of the ideas. So some of the songs in the record are just basically, he came with them, they were pretty much done when he showed up and we just sort of played on them. But for a lot of the songs, they start as just ideas, as a riff or as a verse or a chorus, and then the whole band sort of wrote them together. I'd say probably most of the songs in the record went like that.
And when you write together, Take us kind of more into how that exactly works. Do you jam and improvise, or discuss things, or go away from each other and then come back with ideas?
Probably all those things. Right. We definitely do jam and improvise, and then if something seems right or good, we'll work on that for a while. We'll record it, you know, we demo it often, and then listen to it back. And then 9 times out of 10, we eliminate it from the world, erase it, and hate it, and then we'll try a different approach.
You mentioned your producer, Jeremy Backoff, and how did you, he's been a producer of yours for a long time and collaborator, how did you meet and begin working with him?
He was with us on the very, he was there the first time I ever walked into a studio environment in my entire life. I was 20. He was there. He was, he'd worked at Bearsville Studio before they closed, and he was friends. He knew my older brother, Simon, sort of set up that session, and we recorded a record at his friend's place in the woods at this old Shakespeare theater that was built 100 years ago. And he just brought his equipment there. And that was my first experience in the studio. It was really amazing. He was just sort of, we couldn't play. I didn't know how to play music at that time or do anything. So he sort of was our mentor in a lot of ways.
And how, for people listening who mayn't have ever experienced a mentorship like that and still might know, as I barely do, how you learn to play and learn to record, what kinds of things did he have to teach you? What do you know now? And I imagine you keep learning all the time, but what do you know and learn, and how do you get better as a working musician?
Well, I guess, you know, most of it is just playing every day, but I think a lot of it is listening and respecting the other musicians that you're playing with in the room. You know, the Fleece Brothers is the only real band I've ever been in, and that's true for pretty much everybody else in the band too. Mm-hmm. So we sort of grew up playing with each other. And sort of Jeremy was always there just sort of helping us out. And like, sort of, you know, because he was the ears in a lot of ways. He would listen back to what we were doing and be like, well, this sounds good, this doesn't. It's hard to know when you're doing it yourself. And he would help us out, you know, with the groove and laying back in the cut. And also, you know, sort of pushing us to play the song, play it again, to practice more. And I think that's so important. And when you're young and impatient, you sometimes skip that.
Sure.
I heard that long factory whistle blow. I did my dishes and I threw them out the window. Give me the good old boxcar by the sea. Birds and the bats, the bees and the cats and me.
You mentioned you're based around New Paltz, and the show you're playing on Valentine's Day, as I mentioned, is in Kingston. Do you have an enthusiastic Hudson Valley fan base? Is a show at home different from shows anywhere else?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it really is. Yeah, we all grew up here, so we just have lots of friends and family that come out, and then it's so nice to just sort of see people from around town just show up at the shows, people that you don't really know very well. I really like that feeling. I love that it sort of brings those people closer to us and us closer to them. And I love that people meet at our shows and stuff like that. It just does feel like a community gathering of some kind. And I really love to be able to be a part of that, to help sort of facilitate that.
Well, the energy you guys display on stage must also give people a kind of local pride. I mean, the music is fantastic. And then you guys look like you're having so much fun up there.
It's a fun job. Yeah, I'm so proud of being from here. You know, I respect this place so much. I love it so much. That, you know, I want to be a good ambassador. You know, I want to make sure that we can sort of spread the love and the joy of the Hudson Valley into other parts of the world. And then, like, you know, everything that we get from the rest of the world, we can sort of try to bring back here.
Speaking of the rest of the world, you've set me up for just a perfect segue, James. You're going to Australia soon. Have you been to Australia before? I apologize for not knowing that.
Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, we did. We went a few years ago for just like a few days. And it was sort of in the middle of a tour. We were like in San Francisco and we flew to Australia for a few days. And then we flew back to San Francisco and then kept touring. So it wasn't that it wasn't fun, but it was very fast.
Yeah.
And did not get to experience the country as much as we'd like. So this tour, I think, is going to be a little more comprehensive, which I'm really excited about.
And on this tour, you're playing like two sets per night, right? You're opening for Conor Oberst as the Felice Brothers, and then you're going to be his backing band too. How does that work? When do you learn all of Conor's songs and get ready to support him on his part of the show?
That's a good question. We're flying out to Omaha, to his place, next week or 2 weeks on the 18th.
Okay.
Next week, to rehearse for a few days. And then we go out there. This will be like the third time we've sort of been Conor's backup band.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we kind of know a lot of the songs. They're in a brain somewhere. So I think a few days is all we're really going to need to get things going.
And our audience is very different depending on where in the world you are. We mentioned, you know, the hometown has a special kind of feel, but if you're in a different country, is that a different audience, a different show?
Yeah, in some ways it is, and in some ways it's not, which is even more surprising to me that playing a show in Sweden feels like you could be playing a show, you know, in New York. It's kind of amazing to me. But yeah, the audiences are different all over the world. Sometimes they're rowdier, sometimes they're older or younger. In Germany, they're all like extremely polite,
uh-huh.
And you kind of think that they're not enjoying it, but then they do clap afterwards. They say they love it, so you know it could be sort of weird. I remember playing in Australia, though. The audiences there are incredible. They're incredibly vibrant and appreciative, and really, we really felt welcome when we were there.
James, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time again, and have a great bunch of shows in the region, in the snow, and then have a good time in Australia.
Thanks, Sarah. Well, I'm honored. We're huge fans of this show. I'm so happy to be on it. Thank you for having me.
The Felice Brothers will play a Valentine's Day show at BSP Lounge in Kingston, New York. For more information, visit thefelicebrothers.com or wamc.org/roundtable. All of the Felice Brothers tunes we share today are from their most recent album, Favorite Waitress. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
From the start to the finish.